I need to sort out an intro at some point.
Do you not appreciate my improv intros?
I mean, they're getting there. they're getting there.
Well, to be fair, I've only had one crack at it so far. Wow. I'm going to blow you away today.
Well, that's ready. That's obviously where the issue is.
Here we go.
Oh, hang on.
Welcome to the VR podcast.
I don't know when to jump in. I don't know if to laugh at the part of it or if it stops after. I don't know.
That was it. Including the laughter. That was it.
Oh, okay. I think
solid.
Maybe for the next one, maybe just throw in end or the end at the end of it. So then I
The end of the intro.
Or the end of the episode. We just leave it there.
I have so many, funnily enough, I have so many talented musical people in my life. And that's just one thing that has never, ever, ever rubbed off on me. I feel like I'm a sponge in so many areas when it comes to kind of picking things up. Music, not one of them.
Yeah. Same here. I've got absolutely no rhythm whatsoever. Like, I can't.
And did you discover that for yourself or did someone tell you that?
I don't know. Right, this is a weird thing because I used to, like, I think, like, back when I was a young lad, I'm sure, like, I used to have a little bit of a boogie when I was out, but nothing major.
The fact you called it a boogie tells me everything I need to know.
Exactly. I don't know. I think now I'm just, I mean, I know, I think I've always known I've got no rhythm, but there was a point where I just didn't really care.
That's in a nutshell getting older, isn't it? Like you give zero fucks.
I feel like I've gone the other way. I feel like I give more fucks now about my lack of rhythm.
Really?
Like, yeah, like it's some sort of disability. Like, if I attend to people are on the edge of the dance floor going, oh, bless him. At least he's trying. Oh,
look at him trying.
At least he's trying. Bless him.
I feel like there needs to be there needs to be a YouTube series or something that follows you attempting to learn rhythm, learning how to dance.
Another series following me, like doing something. Like 1 minute it's watching wildlife VR.
Wildlife porn.
Yeah, wildlife. Frog porn. And now just attempting to dance in places.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, by the way, I have a deep, dark confession to admit to.
Oh, God.
I have not yet watched Lawn Mower Man.
Oh,
I am so sorry.
Look, it's been 2 weeks now. You had an extra week as a freebie. All right, fair enough. The past week you've been quite busy. But hang on a minute, then you've been on a train. That's perfect time. You'd be like, oh, you know what? I'll have a look at this.
I really fancy watching that.
Classic 90s Pierce Brosnan VR movie.
Funnily enough, that was literally at the top of my list. It was on my to-do list and everything. And just didn't come to fruition.
I think that quote was on the poster as well. just your classic 90s Pierce Brosnan VR movie. That's why it did so well.
Why it was literally leaping off the shelves of Blockbuster. In fact, I think if you look at Blockbuster's bankruptcy notice, it actually names Lawnmower Man.
It was the only film in their bargain bins.
Oh, Blockbuster. No. Good times. They deserve to go out of business, though. Did you?
Yeah, back in the day. It's great times.
No way.
Yeah. It was great.
That's why you're a cinephile.
It was one. Well, no, I was one before then. That certainly didn't help,
that's
though.
That's why you
wanted to. It was Blockbuster that introduced me to, like, Japanese horror. Weirdly enough.
And just quickly, I mean, we are partial to a little tangent. So just quickly, how did that go down? Like, how are you, like, just casually working in Blockbuster and all of a sudden you are taking out, I was about to say Japanese porn. Not Japanese porn. Japanese horror films.
Well, I've always been quite partial to a horror movie. And working in Blockbuster gave me access to a a lot of world cinema. And yeah, sort of things like, and these were like classic ones like Ring or Ringu, as it was known in Japanese before. The Americans were like, let's remake this.
That's not scary. Yeah, that's good. They're like, if we called The Ring Ringu, one's seeing it.
I mean, that's probably what is the thing that got me into it in the first place, just that title, because it just sounded like Pingu. Like the penguin. So I was like, oh, this is probably going to be good. Claymation penguin in Japanese. And then you watch it, it's just like the complete opposite.
Samara just haunting your nightmares ever since.
Yeah, but I don't know, it was weird. And I think that was probably one of the first ones I actually watched, if not the first one. Because I think I'd read about it, because at that time I used to always religiously buy Empire and Total Film. And then I stopped buying Empire after reading their review of Eden Lake, which I disagreed with so much that I stopped buying it. So I'm sorry if anyone from Empire is listening, but it was a terrible film. What were you thinking?
what were you thinking, lording that around?
But I think I'd like read about it, and I was like, oh, that sounds quite good. So yeah, I rented it out. And then that was because I worked like mostly nights. Like I would just go around at the end of the night, just sort of rent out, because I think you got about like 10 free rentals a week, which didn't last me long.
What if you worked there? Yeah.
And so then I'd just like, and because my sleeping pattern was all over the place, I'd like just rent out a load of stuff, go home. I'd move, and then I was still living at home at the time, so I'd move like one of the chairs directly in front of the TV. I'd have like a 2-litre bottle of Coke and a big bag of popcorn, and I'd just be sitting there watching like Japanese horror till like 3 or 4 in the morning.
And the black, I mean, minus the Japanese horror, that is my Friday night, my friend.
it was great. I just went through loads of stuff. It was pretty good. It was a pretty good job. And you always got like a few characters that would come in. My favourite personally was a guy that we called Harrison Ford Man.
Right.
You know, as nicknames go.
Obsessed with Harrison Ford movies.
As nicknames go, that's,
very original.
Great. But he used to come in a lot. I mean, you probably wouldn't guess, but he would always ask for Harrison Ford movies. And he'd always go through like the bargain bins. And he'd like literally go through every single one and then come over and he'd be like, oh, excuse me, mate. You got any Harrison Ford films? And you'd be like, you've been through every bin, mate. So if there's not any in there, then we actually, but then he just
get to know him so well that you actually just have a pile of Harrison Ford movies waiting for him when he arrives.
Well, yeah, but then it got to a point where he was just, like he would just constantly annoy you about it. Like even if you said, oh no, we haven't got any, or you'll check, or you'd like have a look in the system, you'd like, oh no, we haven't got any and stuff. But then he'd still constantly pester, like, are you sure? It's like, oh, I mean, I don't know what more you want from me.
I've checked the system. Yeah. There's no Harrison. I'll leave.
But at one point.
He goes home and cries. Like, well,
one time, and this is, I mean, and bear in mind, this was like many years ago now. Right, I was a younger lad, and there was a few of us. But one time, we thought, how, like, because he was almost like a robot. He's would always come in, ask the same thing, it's always the same. So we thought, I wonder what he would do, or how he would react if we, like, you know, said, oh, what do you think about like Harrison Ford like passing away? yeah, it seems a bit harsh now, but at the time, I don't know.
It seemed absolutely hilarious.
We instantly regretted it because he didn't take it well.
Does this end with you with a black eye and a middle-aged man crying in the back of a police truck?
He was very much a super fan. I think we was like, well, I think we kind of backtracked a little bit, saying, oh, well, that's what we heard. But, it could have been one of those things, that those rumours that go around that you never really know if it's true or not. you know, like you sometimes get around like someone like some famous celebrity's died, and then you Google it, you're like, that's just an internet rumor, a Twitter rumor.
Yeah. Do you know what the biggest one of those internet rumors of my childhood was? That do you remember Kenan and yes. Kel, the Nickelodeon show?
Loves the orange soda.
Yes. Who loves orange soda? Well, that the rumor was that I think it was Kel had been like killed in a car accident, and this was like pre-internet, I think. So this is like, oh my God, I'm devastated that Kel is dead. And then like years later, when that kind of rumor crops up and you think, oh yeah, I wonder if that was true. And you Google it. It's like, no, absolutely not true. Especially when he pops up on SNL doing a reunion. It's like, oh, I thought he died. And it's so funny because I remember that. And we really need to get on to something.
No one is listening to this rant. From Kenan and yeah. Kel. But yeah, I was struggling.
Who loves VR? We no, that was bad. But I mean, let's go with that. We'll take that segue and let's run with it. So today's topic, Dan. So I thought we could talk about. Well, to be fair, I thought we've got three topics, but we've only got about half an hour. So,
so we can do
yeah,
that.
Okay, yeah, well, this will be like two sentences yeah. each on each one then. But yeah, so I thought we could talk about the launch of the 1X, mm-hmm. the Insta360 1X, as I have been with Ben Claremont for the last week and a bit. Like seeing it hands on, and kind of yeah, getting kind of some kind of like interesting overview of like that camera, because I think there's the way that they market their cameras is very very clever. They are a brilliant company for that. But until I actually get hands on with it, or until I like you know actually see it in action, I'm always a little bit dubious. Yeah. But yeah, I mean. Spoiler alert, it seems as good as it kind of sounds. So that's topic one. And then thought we could briefly cover Facebook 3D depth photos because, oh boy, I was excited about that.
The 1X, is that that topic done now?
Oh, no, I was just giving the listeners an overview of what the topics were. Although, to be fair, they might already know because we might put them in the title, yeah, right?
Might as well.
Oh, okay. Then let's stick on the 1X then. Okay, over to you. What are your thoughts
on
the 1X?
I haven't been near one like you. So this is I think this is more your realm because you could dish more dirt on this than I can. But I'm intrigued.
Well, I guess
all the stuff that I've seen online so far, because there seems to be like a slew of videos coming out that have been shot with it, and it looks pretty. It does look pretty good.
Well, this is the thing. What Insta360 are very good at is they are very in the community, and they are very, you know, they are in amongst the users and getting feedback and watching the 360 community very closely. And so what I think this camera is basically a lot of the best features of all other kind of consumer, prosumer 360 cameras smushed into like one device, whether it be from like, you know, the fact that they've upped the resolution to 5.7K, like the Fusion, or is it 5.6K? No, I think it's 5.7K. I should probably have checked my facts before. you know, a really fast and amazing mobile workflow, you know, the six-axis stabilization, and the hyperlapse feature of the Rilo. Like, they've basically took all of the best features from the 360 cameras from the last year and made it into this one very affordable camera, actually. And so I think they're very smart to have done that. And it's great because it's kind of like there's nothing more annoying than being a creator that's like, this camera's great, but it's missing this one big thing that without this feature, it's completely useless to me. Like, for example, if you're using that kind of camera for a professional shoot, 4K is just not really good enough anymore. You really kind of need 8K, but if you're not going to go for 8K, 5.7K, you know, you can you can deal with that. I've used a Fusion on shoots where that wasn't necessarily going to be my A camera, but it's the footage is so good from that camera that it's ended up being my A camera. And so I think that's where they were going with the 1X. That's my opinion anyway.
Hmm. What is, have they announced the retail price for it yet? Or?
Yeah, I think it's, is it four? I think, I think you can actually buy it. I think it's $499, but let me just double check that. It doesn't actually say. Hang on, one. But weirdly, I went over and saw my parents yesterday because obviously I've been away for a few weeks now on various projects, and I went over to have a cup of tea and say hi, and my mum was like, oh, I recorded something for you on the TV, like that generation still kind of they record live TV, bless them. So she plays me this clip from the BBC, and it's like one of their afternoon primetime shows, and it's a guy like reviewing the 1X, and I was like, that's interesting. The fact that it's broken through, it's broken into the mainstream, even if people are like, what is that? The fact that it's there, the fact that, my parents are in their 60s and that they could just be watching a TV show that they would always watch, and they would be exposed to this new technology. That's quite cool. And my mum was like, oh, we want one of them. We want one for holiday. And I was like, you don't need a 360 camera for your holiday, mum. And also, I've got plenty. Take your pick. You can't have that one. But
what show was it?
It was called, I think it's called News Click.
Oh, okay.
One of these. Yeah. So just to come back on price. So in English, in pounds, it's just over £400.
That's not bad.
£409.95, which is a bizarre price point, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But yeah, so it's not like, it's obviously a bit more expensive than most consumer 360 cameras, but then I feel like they're probably trying to go after a more prosumer kind of audience. Yeah, exactly. Bang for your buck, as they say.
Indeed. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Nice.
So I think regardless of, whether it ends up being, because the thing is, I've only kind of watched Ben use it, and I've kind of seen the footage secondhand through him, but I've not actually used it myself. So I couldn't say categorically that it's the holy grail of 360 cameras. But at the same time, I think it's what it represents in terms of the camera company listening to the community and making something that, is very akin to what everyone wants is a good sign. It's a good step in the right direction, I think.
Nice. Yeah, it certainly looks like it has a lot of potential.
Yeah. But then it's interesting because segueing into the next topic, I think ultimately this doesn't take off until it becomes integrated. Like 360 doesn't take off really until the cameras become integrated in your phones and it becomes, from a consumer point of view, I mean, it doesn't become a thing until it's as easy as using your phone to take the picture, because that is why I think the Facebook 3D depth photos have taken off. Because even me, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited about the fact that I can literally take existing photos on my iPhone and make them into this cool 3D effect.
I didn't even know this was a thing until I saw you post that on Facebook, like one of them, and I was like, wait, what?
I'm so glad.
What
to be the one to break the news.
Where's this come from? But how did you do it? Because I Googled it and it said that you can only do it on certain phones.
Yeah. Well, so
wanted you to shoot that rumor down so I could do it.
No, that is true. What phone do you have?
I'm sort of fairly old. I've got a Galaxy S7 Edge.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether this is true or not, because I haven't looked too deeply into it, but I don't think it works with Android yet. It only works with iPhone. Oh. So, soz. But I'm sure it will be released soon. I'm sure it will be released soon for Android, because it's like a huge amount of their user base. But essentially how it works at the moment is it works with any camera that can take a portrait photo. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where it's like two lenses, yeah, and it kind of creates that shallow depth, mm-hmm, of field looking photo. So at the moment on iPhone, if you take portrait photos, so I've got the 10, and so on the iPhone X or 10 or whatever you call it. And so any photo that I've taken in portrait mode, I could now just upload to Facebook and it creates this kind of like depth map. Yeah. But you can tell that all it's doing is kind of, it's obviously needs some fine tuning, and it probably will as more and more people use it. Yeah. But at the moment it's really hit and miss. Like some of them, it just like literally looks like two pieces of paper that are, you're comically kind of animating a bit, like, you know, like South Park animation style.
Which in its own is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think when I think the second photo I posted was like, this is an example of how not to do a 3D photo. And it's just like me with my like hair spiking everywhere because it just can't recognize the edge of my head.
Amazing.
But I think, you know, what I really loved about that, and what I think is amazing and very important about that feature, is the fact that that is getting people who aren't anything to do with the VR or the AR or the technology and sector, yeah, in general, that's getting them excited about something like that. And it makes them move their phone. If you ever watch someone looking at a 3D photo on their phone, they start moving it around, and it doesn't take long for that slight movement of a phone, yeah, to become, oh, okay, now I know how to use a 360, because now I'm used to having to move my phone around.
Yeah.
So it's like bridging that gap.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it takes off. If it's like, ends up being a jumping point from that.
Yeah, I think what's difficult to get a sense of is a lot of the people that I'm friends with on Facebook are already in the industry. So obviously my newsfeed is just flooded with these photos, yeah, but I can't tell whether that's just because that's just the circle of people that I, you know, run with. So it's kind of like, of course they're going to be using it because they're all tech nerds.
So interesting you say that, because I think I've only come across two, including yourself, that have used it.
Really?
Yeah. But I think
that's again, interesting.
Because it's, I think because it's down to, you know, the phone, and it, also that, you know, I may be friends with a lot of Android users. Maybe that's why. All just feeling a little bit alienated right now.
You were just like, screw you guys. Yeah. We don't need your 3D photos.
Come on, Zucks. What are you playing at?
That does seem to bizarre to me to alienate. You know what I mean? To release it and not have, yeah, it ready for both platforms is a little bit strange, especially because...
Oh, sorry. No, go on.
Okay, especially because... technology people generally have Androids, because iPhones are rubbish for doing anything that needs like horsepower or a lot of memory.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, when I was like looking it up and sort of seeing how you can do it, and it's, I think it sort of said like there was a couple of phones and stuff you can do it with, and like neither of those phones were on my list of the phone to get next, because I just wanted to get something like out here, because there's these like phones in Asia that are exactly the same as, you know, your iPhones or your Samsungs, probably even like slightly even better, because they have stuff like dual SIM card slots and stuff, which is quite useful for me as I'm having to like change SIMs in every country.
That's
quite
good.
Cool. And they're like £200, which is like just to buy off the bat without a contract. So I'm thinking, oh,
that's amazing.
That'd be good. And then like the camera quality is really good. The screen is amazing. And all stuff like that. But then there was part of me that was thinking, not sure what one of those now, because I want to do these 3D photos. And I don't know if it's a bit. Which is weird that I'm basing the whole like financial decision around whether or not I can take 3D photos with it.
You're like, listen, I'm going to bankrupt myself purely for the fun of being able to wiggle around my picture of my cat. But that's how they get you. That's how you know that it's a pretty, you know, that's pretty cool. That's a
Yeah,
pretty
no,
cool
I'll do this
feature.
one. All right, give me the 24-month contract then. God's sake.
To be fair though, 200 quid for like, you know, a top range phone, that's amazing. That is so good. Man, I need to move to
Really,
Asia.
really nice phones. I'd never heard of them before that. I think the one I was looking at was like the Vivo V9. I mean, it's not, yeah, not the greatest. And then, but then there's like another make called like Oppo, which I quite like. It's fun to say.
Oppo, almost as good as
Yeah,
Ringu.
and they're essentially the same phone, sort of similar prices, but. Yeah, they're really nice, and they're, I mean, obviously they run Android and stuff, but yeah, you've got like some of them have dual SIMs, you still have your like memory card that you can put in as well to extend it. Yeah, no, they're pretty cool, and I'd say for the price, I don't, you know, I'd
You
rather than
just can't,
just
yeah, you can't
jump
beat
into
that.
another contract again and pay
See,
£300.
I don't know about you, but I desperately want to get out of the kind of the superficial capitalistic trap of buying into a smartphone brand. Like last time I was going to upgrade my phone, I was, that's it. I'm getting out of the Apple ecosystem. I'm breaking the mold. And then I got a Samsung to use with my Gear VR for work. And so I started trying to use that as my kind of like primary phone just to see if I liked Android. And within like days, I wanted to smash the phone against the wall. I was like, oh no, okay, back to
I
IRs.
did it like when I first did it like years ago because I was just getting bored of like the iPhone because it always kind of tends to look the same year in year out. I just wanted something that looks a bit different, and at the time like the Samsung was quite flash. I switched it over and I think it was about 2 months in it turned into like the slowest phone I've ever owned, and I was stuck in like a contract for like 2 years with that, and there was nothing I could do.
Oh,
Then I
the
switched back to
worst.
the iPhone. Then I switched to Samsung purely because of the Gear VR stuff. And it's been fine since. But it was funny because I had like all the Apple stuff, and like my friends, like a couple of my really proper like IT geeky friends would mock me for being a fanboy and stuff. I was like, but it, you know, it works. If it works, I'll use it. But now I don't have any Apple stuff. So it's kind of weird, but.
Oh, what? Do you work on PC as
Yeah,
well?
yeah.
Oh. See, I always think it's funny when people like Apple never, Apple kind of adverts, Apple people in general, I don't think ever really kind of, well, I don't know. I mean, I do mock people for having Android, so that's a lie. But no, like
Well,
I feel like a lot of, I'm like, yeah, I am. In kind of, I've seen like, I think it probably was a Samsung advert actually, and there's like a lot of kind of like rivalry, it seems, from the side of Android. Like Android will mock, you know, people that use Android and PC will mock people for using Apples and stuff, which I always find really funny because it reminds me of like, just remind me of like the school bully that's like, yeah, you've got horrible trainers, and inside he's like, oh, I wish my mum would buy me trainers. But it makes me laugh because I've never used a PC ever. Like, because my dad and my mum both were ran design companies when I was younger, so they've always worked on Apples. So I grew up using Apples, using Macs, and so I've technically I was an OG fanboy. You know what I mean? And I found it really weird because then when I turned probably about, I think it was like 17, 18, or it might have been a little bit younger when people started to go, oh, because beforehand I would use my Mac and all of my friends would have no idea how to use it because the interface was so different to PC. It was just completely different kind of like language in terms of the UI. And And yeah, and then all of a sudden people started buying them. And I was like, hang on a second. Mm. And apparently my dad always brings this up. He's always like, oh yeah, you were disgraced one day when I took you to an Apple store and there was like loads of people there. You were like, ugh. What are all these people doing in this Apple store?
See, I remember like I got like one of the old MacBooks when they were like all white. Just purely because it came with like iMovie, and I just wanted like some editing software to mess around with. And then I had that. Then I won a MacBook Pro. It was crazy, right?
Amazing.
Right.
How?
This is the crazy thing about it, right? It was on a website. I can't remember the website now. I think it might have been makingof.com or something like that. But it was a website that was started, right? This is the crazy bit. There's a website that was started. I don't know if she started it with a friend or not, but it was started by Natalie Portman. Right. They
random. So hang on, is the punchline of this story going to be that Natalie Portman delivered you a MacBook Pro in person?
That would have been absolutely amazing and life changing. Probably more so for her.
Of course.
Yes. So I don't know. Like I can't remember what the competition was, but I entered it, and then I got this email saying, "Oh, yeah, you're one of the lucky winners." And you know, instantly you're like, "Yeah, all right. Who got all of my details? Yeah, this is clearly a joke." But then the guy was like, "No, it's legit." But it was like three winners, but one of them hadn't replied. So I think I had to wait it was somewhere between 6 to 8 months. For them to try and get with this other guy because of like legal reasons, they needed to try and get in touch with this other person who won before they could then like potentially choose another winner if he just didn't get back to him. I think they had like so much time had to pass where legally they could then just choose another winner and the other guy or the other person not just say, "Oh, I won this, blah, 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 blah." And then they sort of shipped it out, and then there was this whole rigmarole of it going through customs as well.
So 2 years later,
I finally got it, and it got to a point where I'd actually forgotten I'd won it. It took so long.
That's the best surprise ever.
And then I got that, so I had that. That was I think it was a 2009 MacBook Pro. But that lasted like a fair while. But then like as I started doing bigger projects, I was like, right, I need a bit more, you know, a bit more power behind this. And like an iMac maxed out or whatever, and or an entry level Mac Pro wasn't in the budget. So I was looking at other options and I was like, ooh, I could build one.
Oh god.
So I built a Mac.
You built a Mac? Oh, was it a Hackintosh?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Just with the power of YouTube.
That is what YouTube is for. Come on now.
Spec'd out, I think it was the equivalent of like an entry level Mac Pro, I think. And I think I spent about £800 on it.
That is insane. That's amazing. Yeah. Did it actually work really well?
Literally. Oh yeah, it's fine. Absolutely fine. It took me about a week, like one weekend, to sort of fully get it to the point and get all the drivers and stuff set up. So everything was working fine. And it worked solidly. The only downside to it though, is that whenever you want to update the OS, you had to kind of go through the rigmarole of, you couldn't like download it through like the iTunes store or anything like that, because then that could like, you know, do damage to it. So you had to kind of sort of download the OS separately and then kind of reinstall everything from scratch and then all the drivers and stuff again, which became a bit of a pain.
Just have to reset your Mac every time you wanted to upgrade it.
yeah. So in the end I was like, right, well, I think I'm going to create like a dual thing where I'll have like Mac on there and like have Windows, because at least then I've got all, you know, everything's Windows compatible, and then if I need to upgrade, I can just upgrade whenever. So I did that, but then somewhere along the lines of doing it, my Mac hard drive stopped working. So then I couldn't access my Mac stuff anymore. Oh, nice. So I was like, well, guess I'm a Windows guy now.
Fuck you, Mac. So,
yeah. I liked it because it was, I don't know, I liked, it was nice to have a change.
Yeah.
And like certain programs that I used sort of worked a bit faster in Windows, like Premiere Pro, I felt worked faster in Windows, which was nice because that was, you know, what I was using mostly.
Well, that's my kind of my in the last kind of couple of years of doing 360 productions. Every time I'm kind of desperately trying to render out like a 360 film through my, you know, because I don't tend to work on like a desktop computer anymore. I like will probably mostly work on my MacBook Pro because I'm just all over the place. Physically, not mentally, everyone. Although you could argue a bit of both. But and it just obviously, it just blows my mind every time I do have the luxury of rendering it out on like a PC machine, like when I'm kind of working you know, with other editors or with motion graphics people where, you know, we kind of do the final render on their big specced out PC. It is incredible to watch how fast it works. And I'm like, oh yeah, I should probably look at moving to PC for that. But I don't know.
That's the nice thing about the PC though. You can always upgrade it. You don't like, you can just open it up, switch out some components and stuff to sort of beef it up a bit.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's always sort of bugged me about Apple. It's like, oh, you can only upgrade so much, and then you're just going to have to buy another one if you want to do that.
Oh, yeah. My MacBook Pro is only, I think it's the 256 gig. I don't know why. I think because I bought it just before I got into VR, so I didn't really – I was doing like traditional kind of flat film, but I wasn't filming in 4K or anything, so I didn't necessarily need like loads and loads of storage. And then obviously got into 360 where one shoot was taking up, you know, potentially up to like 100 gigabyte if not more, and that has been the one bugbear of mine with this MacBook, because I went into the Apple store like, oh, can I upgrade the storage space to like a terabyte, and they were like, oh no, yeah, you can't do that, you have to buy a new Mac. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? That's so stupid. So now I just travel with like three SSDs at all times. It's so annoying.
And even like the RAM, because I maxed out my MacBook Pro before I just got rid of it as much as I could. And I think I put an SSD in there, which helped it a bit. But I could only max the RAM out to like, I think only 8 gig. You could only put in there and it wouldn't take any more. You're like, oh,
that's nuts.
That's really odd.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where it just became impossible to edit anything on. So I was like, yeah, this is suitable for like a student now who just wants something to write.
I remember
a thesis. Yeah.
I remember going to a coffee shop recently and someone had one of the very, very old school MacBooks, and it was like one of my first laptops, I think, which was the big, looked like a clamshell. It's like colourful. So mine was green. It was like fluorescent green. And this person in this coffee shop had that one but blue. And I was thinking, I swear I had that computer when I was probably about 12. How on earth? Like, it probably doesn't even have a Wi-Fi card in it. Like, how are you using that thing? And I was like, that is the most hipster thing I've ever seen in my life.
But you never know. They may have like opened it up and specced it out or something. Maybe just like taken out all the other components and then.
But could you do that in? I guess if you were like a massive computer like Wiz, you probably could do that. But I don't know. I feel like, do you think Mac, as they've gone on, Apple have just got more and more kind of, yeah, can't do that. Let's make it super exclusive and annoying. And let's see. The thing is with Apple, I feel like they do this where it's like, let's see how much we can piss off our customers and like see if any of them actually have the balls to leave. Because even with things like the USB ports disappearing from the I have to carry dongles with me because my computer literally doesn't have a USB port. And obviously they're getting rid of the headphone jack. And I'm like, from the iPhone, I'm like, are you doing this on purpose? Are you desperately trying to like get rid of me? Because I mean, it's working, but at the same time, I'm too lazy and can't be bothered to learn how to use a new system to actually make the move.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I think they're just focusing on the phone stuff now. And that kind of tech. I don't know. It's just, I mean, I don't really sort of keep on top of it because obviously I don't really use it as much anymore. And Windows seems to be more, they tend to sort of cater more for like the VR and AR and MR stuff.
Definitely. Sort of like, well, I think it'd be interesting to see if Apple do come out with some kind of device. Obviously, they seem to be leaning into the AR stuff, but it's been a long time since Apple have been like first to market with like a new kind of technology. And so with the patent going through, there was like a lot of buzz around the fact that Apple had filed a patent for basically mixed reality glasses, but they were primarily AR, but they did have the functionality of VR from what I read. It'd be interesting because I think at the moment you've got Microsoft obviously doing like the mixed reality headsets and the HoloLens. But if you've ever used either of those, you know that they are still very much designed by geeks for geeks. And I mean that in the most loving way because I consider myself a geek. Yeah. But they're not the kind of thing that the mass consumer is going to go, oh yeah, that's really cool, I'll buy that, because that's what Apple does. Yeah. And it does do it well, admittedly. You do it because it's a little bit of like a statement, you know, like whether it's AirPods or whether it's, you know, the iPhone, it is a little bit of a kind of like, the Apple is a bit of a status symbol, which is stupid, makes zero sense, and could send us down a whole tangent rabbit hole of, you know, capitalism and branding and all of that jazz. Yeah. But I think if they did come out with a device that was slick and was designed for the end consumer, then that could potentially change the game.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think until then though, I'll stick with my Android and my Microsoft.
Do you like how the initial idea for discussion, the topic that we're initially going to be discussing on this podcast was going to be 360 distribution, aka something that would have had actual value for people, and instead we basically.
I mean, I can't even remember like the first. I mean, we spent about like 20 minutes probably talking about Blockbuster Video.
I feel like to be fair, until people reach out and say, yeah, you got to stop doing that. We'll just do what makes us happy.
Well, we could save 360 distribution for the next episode.
Yes. That's
a quote, so people can hold us to that.
If you actually want to learn something of value next week about 360, then don't waste an hour of your life listening to this. Tune in next week when we're going to be talking about 360 distribution channels, what's good, what's bad, how you make money with your 360 camera. Just come back next week, basically. If you're still listening, I really don't know. I mean, I appreciate you so much, but I mean, you really need to look at your life choices.
Well, you've sold it to me. On the subject, on the subject of learning, I did actually, I think it was last week, I did a YouTube tutorial with Marcelo Lewin from the How to Create VR podcast for his YouTube, funny enough, being a YouTube tutorial, on how to interactive horror experience on VR.
Amazing. I need to watch that. Is it out?
I don't know. I think it was coming out this week, but I haven't heard from him yet. So I'm assuming it hasn't come out just yet. I imagine he's probably just gone through it afterwards and be like, you know what? I can't use any of this. because I mean, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was concerned about it because I was thinking, I know what I'm like, I'll ramble and it would just all be incoherent. And then also I was worried because I was on my mobile hotspot and I had to share my screen and I was thinking, this isn't going to end well.
Oh, I mean, that is taxing. Yeah. That is pushing the upper limits of what a mobile hotspot can do.
Exactly. But he said it was fine at the end of it. So hopefully it is fine. But honestly, I tell you what, I was like, I don't know, so stressed about trying to, you know, make sure that I made sense in what I was saying. I've never sweat so much. I was sitting there for an hour, give or take, doing this thing, and I was absolutely dripping by the end of it. I think there was easily half my body weight lost in just sweat.
Why though? You know what you're doing. Why were you so nervous?
This isn't so bad.
This is just us rambling.
Yeah, this isn't so bad because, you know, I'm not fucking it up for someone else other than you.
That's fine. We're fucking it up for each other. It's great.
Because he does the intro and outro stuff like while you're on the line.
He was so good. He was very sweaty.
He was so good at it. And I mean, if he's listening, you Marcelo, you smashed it, and I felt really inferior in comparison.
Woo!
It was just like, it was so professional, and I was just thinking, shit, man, that sounds really good. Sounds like such a pro. I was like,
does
he know what he's letting himself in?
To be fair. we should absolutely probably tighten up our act, because otherwise it's a bit like, you know how before we even started recording, I think we were talking about Instagram, yeah, and how it feels a bit more laborious, yeah, when you're like, oh, there's this theme that I've got to stick to, but I don't want to stick to it. I just want to do whatever I want and post whatever I want. I feel like we should probably think about the podcast that way. Like, we probably shouldn't just like talk about whatever we want to talk about today.
I suppose in a way, I mean, all right, we are covering mm-hmm. bits and pieces, and we will cover more, maybe in more detail.
Maybe. Stay tuned.
But maybe that's our little niche. We're like the sort of casual, more, you know, fun, like VR-related podcast.
And that's yeah, casual shade to all of you VR podcasts that are not casual and fun.
Come on, man. Come on, guys, relax. Yeah, because people might be like, oh yeah, I want to learn a bit, but I also want to have a bit of fun with it, and then they'll tune in to us, and then they'll come out at the end of it if they've stayed the whole way and be like, I mean, yeah, that was fun, I'm not sure I learned anything, but it was
but it I was, felt like I was hanging out with two mates at the Horny Anchor pub. And that is a throwback to the last episode. So if you didn't listen to that, then you're missing out. Well, clearly not. But
I'm going to make that a reality.
Do it. You need to. A virtual, maybe a virtual one.
Space. Yeah. If I can build a virtual pub in alt space.
Yes.
Watch your space.
That would
watch
be
this
amazing.
Alt space.
Oh. Right. Wait. Oh, God. Anyway, right, I've got to run because I have a client
call.
I'm 1 minute late too. But on that note, though, so go check out Dan's How to Make an Interactive Horror Film when that comes out. For me, I didn't mention this last week, but I've launched a competition with, let's face it, no one is listening at this point, but if you are, you're in for a treat, because I'm just slice this bit out, zero context. So I've launched a competition with a hospice that I've been working with, Loras. It's a 360 filmmaking competition. It's literally everything that I would love to see from a competition, and I'm the only one that can't really enter it, but you guys can submit your films existing or make something new for it. There is a huge cash prize, like 6K for the top winner, then 1K for all the individual categories. I'll go into it in more detail over on my socials, but you can find out more about that competition at loros.co.uk/VRComp. So Loros
is spelled.
I'll
put the link in the notes as well.
Okay, cool. loros.co.uk/VRComp. comp, or follow me on all the socials where I talk about it. And I am just at Alex Makes VR across all of my socials. Over to you, Dan.
And you can follow me at Daniel K. Hatton, where I'll maybe mention it every now and then.
Yes, please.
Other than that, I'll throw in a tiny planet photo here and there.
And, you will be blown away by his Instagram theme.
Especially especially in my most recent post where I have a photo of me flying through the sky with ET.
I mean, I did love that one, to be fair. I need to go show that some love. Right, I'm going to shoot, but always a pleasure to ramble with you. Thank you so much if anyone is still listening.
Yes, thank you.
Tweet and DM us so that we can share our gratitude with you.